I'm Melanie Jackson, and
talking to Sisotarika.
We're talking just at the opening of the exhibition and beginning to think about the relationship of our work to the idea of the curator, and maybe to each other, and maybe a little bit about how we think about them being together.
I think that was also kind of, that came up because we share the same space, in the sense of the same floor. So, and curatorially, I think we were kind of associated with a theme around animation and politics and kind of subversion and economies, and how it relates also to the line, perhaps, or to drawing.
And you've chosen two key figures in your animations of Mao and Branson, one of the kind of avatar of the free market and another much more remote historical figure, and you've chosen to portray him as a model rather than as a portrait.
Well, I usually use like found imagery. So the Richard Branson was actually a sculpture I found in N1 in London. That's actually also quite important to refer back to the location. So it's strategy of my practice is the kind of walking and collecting kind of the demography. The German Mao was actually a sculpture.
It's important in the sense that they're already representation. Well, I suppose a photograph is anyway, but there's another level, isn't there, if it's already a model?
Absolutely. I mean, in the way, I'm quite interested, because you say that now, in this idea of a model, and also in relation to, like, temporary constructions, and how that kind of collapses, in a way, when you work with animation.
Yeah.
I'm interested in its flatness, or non-representational space.
Mm. Yeah, you've got the kind of existing, lots of surfaces to play with in that. A kind of photographic video sense of simulation of three dimensions, but we're kind of aware that it's been drawn on top of in a very flat way. And in the kind of ways I'm playing with as well, I think by having a live action documentary DVD and then trying to use drawing as a counter to that also. But I decided not on this piece of work in particular, but I actually wanted them to be very separate, to make absolutely clear when the lens is supposed to be indexical, the reverse side, which is entirely drawn, entirely fictionalised by me, or entirely, through my register.
I found it quite interesting we just did this tour through the exhibition, and you mentioned in relation to your work that even if it's this drawn animation, it's documentary, and I found that quite interesting. So to kind of detach yourself from a kind of this gestural in some ways, and
well, it kind
the,
of
the,
I
the
like
fictional
that, yeah.
becomes this.
I like that paradox,
real,
which,
in a way,
which
yeah.
in a sense it's obviously fictionalized. It's drawn. There's all kinds of manipulation one makes with form, with time, with selecting the frame, selecting the detail. So there's all kinds of subjective decisions that have been made that are entirely, I don't know, fictionalised, but entirely made up. But I'm interested if it can stand up as still as documentary in a sense, and actually tell you more about a space than actually seeing it. And I'm not sure if it can or it can't, but it certainly tells it in a different way. And I'm kind of interested in reportage as well, in drawing for that. And the idea that it kind of gets rid of any fantasy of objectivity from the beginning, which I'm interested in playing with.
Maybe it's also interesting because you show at the same time on the other side of the projection, which you can never see both films at the same time. It's a kind of documentary.
Sure, it is. Well, it's
a video, basically.
It's a performance,
and then
yeah.
you have a third monitor, which creates another layer. So you play with kind of different ways of recording.
I was interested, in the way that you might construct something specifically for the camera. So she's performing for the camera. And what fascinated me about that was how her expression and her posture and her demeanour completely transform once she's performing, rather than rehearsing. In rehearsal, she has different clothes, she wears her glasses, she's bent over her instrument and looks quite agitated, but for the camera, she is a professional performer and she absolutely is aware of it being on her all the time. And I was kind of just interested just in a different temperature of that too.
But I think that's also the relation between the camera and the object in a way, cultural codes.
It's absolutely adapting to a cultural code. And I think as a professional musician in the rehearsal space, she got used to the camera very quickly and ceased to perform for it and it became naturalised. But for the performance, she's putting everything she puts into the performance of the camera she would for an audience, and that kind of interested me.
But do you think that perhaps it's a question that, in a way, that when you draw, or there is another performativity involved as well, or how do you really consider the actual act of the drawing?
For me, that's my performativity, though, isn't it, as the artist, and I'm roped in there.
Yeah.
And I'm always interested how I'm roped into both the condition of the subject that I'm working with and the subjects that I'm working with, and how that fits. And I'm not in any way pretending or placing myself as an artist selecting to work the story as a woman in a factory, but nevertheless I'm interested in the labour of artwork, and I suppose I've been interested in the relationship then between the idea of, you know, the rehearsal and the learning and the acquisition of skills and my learning to animate, and you know, this.
And don't you think there is also this aspect of the invisibility or kind of opaqueness of labour involved?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially,
yeah.
I mean, of course, in animation, this is kind of, it's very labour intensive and often not really visible as such in this short
time.
Because, of course, it's quite.
But I think that's often to do with the way that people are taught to animate. I think they're taught to try and remove any sense of effort. So their drawings have a kind of mimesis and flow, which tries to simulate a camera view, and the way that they're taught as well to work with this picture space as a three-dimensional stage that's constantly being, you know, it's a kind of way of like replacing actors with actors in a stage or actors in a film set with a pen. And
with more of a character.
Absolutely.
Kind of this.
Whereas I
constantly transforming.
I was interested
thing,
in more
form.
Of it being a page, a picture, drawn either from photograph or video or real life. And absolutely that my screen became a page. And so there's kind of bits of, you know, kind of, I was not interested in learning how to make, to mimic film.
It's interesting because although my work is very sculptural, if you like, or based on photographs,
uh-huh.
I'm completely also interested in this hollowing out, or kind of, it's always already hollowed out space, it's a page.
Yeah.
So it's never, it's always this collapse of a representational space.
How about time in your work? They're very, quite short loops, and that kind of interests me, because I've been working in such long pieces,
mm-hmm.
kind of 6 minutes, 10 minutes, and I've been interested in kind of going through these turns, although I'm now interested as well in these kind of fragments
mm-hmm.
that are kind of a frustration
mm-hmm.
of animation, or frustrate
mm-hmm.
your desire for else
for what,
other
yes.
things, and also for humour
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. But also this idea of something to overlook things, something overlooked because it's so minimal, because it's always at the edge of perception or at the glimpse kind of somewhere. But I'm interested in this idea of that the image is that this image presented is one possibility of several images. So
mm-hmm.
it's a tiny bit of a big
of
surface
yeah.
and whatever comes to the top of the main page, basically, that's what you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, again, to refer to a kind of recording with a lens or something, it's completely oppositional.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of interests me that so much, Manovich has argued that we've returned to animation, that film began with animation and has returned to animation because so much mainstream film is now using animation, using CGI, which is in a sense why I was a bit concerned about the title of the show, Drawing and Subversive Art, because I'm really excited by the history and legacy where animation has managed to be subversive, particularly in Eastern Europe.
But also in early European avant-garde,
absolutely,
like Hans Richter and when this, that was actually came from this painting tradition, and
yeah,
it was a painting movement.
Well, I think
that,
yeah,
that
very
this
plastic
kind of
notion of reality, plastic notion of,
yes,
surface. I really think it's a really interesting idea, but there's, I suppose, a contemporary notion of animation, which is actually seamless with photography. And I love the idea that drawing still has, and animation still has, a subversive potential, but I'm not sure if it does, or whether we're just framing it within a legacy or a trajectory.
I think it's probably both involved, and I'm quite interested in this commercial, non-commercial kind of binary, if you like, or crossing over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there the time aspect comes very much into, because this whole commercial animation is interested in the seamless and the flow,
mm-hmm,
and the non-interruption. And I think what you can actually do with, or if you use it as a kind of subversive, there is an idea of subversion, I think, when you think about creating a rupture or something that stops,
mm,
or like the animation you see on the top floor where you have a still stand. It's an animation, but it's a still stand,
mm,
so it's nothing happening.
I think you can definitely subvert expectation.
Mm.
Whether, I suppose, the notion of political subversion is another thing altogether. Maybe that's what I got stuck on, was the possibility of that. But I think it's still very interesting.
But do you really think, when you make work, I mean, I don't start with thinking I make an animation. It's the medium
absolutely
comes through,
absolutely,
there is an idea.
I mean, for me, I was interested in the story first, and it's then a device to explore that story. And I suppose it's succeeded to, you know, in this work, and I've used it again since. And it kind of becomes a bit of a trope, you know, but it or a device that I want to push further and further. But I definitely didn't, yeah, certainly didn't set out to be an animator. It's just something that was appropriate for an idea.
But maybe in your work, I think there's also a big thing about narrative, or a secondary narrative, or a layer, different layers,
mm,
of narratives.
Well, I think there are, but I think the thing that I was trying to think about this the other day, because I started working in a sculpture department now, I'm running a sculpture, and I was kind of aware there still that the narratives are often around a kind of relationship between materiality and consumption and how things are made. And I'm interested in the notion of alienation of labour, but also the alienation of us from things, from stuff, from scientific knowledge, from commercial knowledge, from the relationship with how something from the ground turns into something that's become highly polished and highly technologised. So I think that's a kind of link. So
do you think that technology seems to come in at certain points all the time somehow, and do you think that alienation is grounded in a certain notion of technology? Or
there's a certain kind of amount of design comes into that, I think, as well, the cloud and the origins of something.
Yes.
So it seems innate, it seems perfectly born. I mean, this is probably quite familiar,
mm-hmm,
I suppose, kind of Marxist theory, this kind of,
mm-hmm,
consumer fetish object. But I'm kind of, I suppose, I'm interested in that, but also the idea of such complex knowledge being hidden within the casing of things, you know, that there is actually. And I think that's where we have changed, or it is a new moment. I mean, technology's always been there, obviously. It used to be possible for one person to understand the whole of something, like a clock, or a ship, or a car. But now, technology is so complex, it takes teams of people to understand, really profoundly understand how each component's working. When a microchip will take a team of 30 or 40 to develop, and they could only understand layers of it each.
But then we're already in this kind of other discussion, I think, where animation is maybe quite interesting to look at. I mean, also historically, where you work with different, with, it's always like a lot of people working on something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shared kind,
yes,
of
that's
work,
true.
And that's interesting, of course, in terms of networks and this current kind of.
But I suppose, again, ironically, we're at a moment now where one can work alone as an animator, which is another historical
exactly
moment.
Exactly. Yeah,
quite
yeah,
new.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of really ambiguous in some ways,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, yeah. The technology's made that possible.
Yeah.
But we do become part of another network,
mm-hmm,
in that. And Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about that in my next piece, and I've wanted to use digital animation because I was thinking about the relationship between technology and a much more kind of rooted, non-technological experience, interaction with it. And ironically now I'm making a piece of work about science, wanting to go back to using pencils.
And I just finished, or I'm just exhibiting actually a work, it's still in process, but it's an new piece of animation, and I was using like an image of mask games, this Korean kind of mask performances with the flip card holders in the big stadium.
Okay.
And I tried to reanimate that, but exchange the image kind of thing. And I really wanted to make it really kind of low tech work to kind of just, yeah. And it became now, while working on it and kind of facing lots of technological limits and kind of barriers, it became very, very kind of almost sophisticated technologically. And I think that's really, really interesting when you work, and also how you deal with these things that come up and where you have to actually go a certain route towards a certain technology which you might not want to use.
I think artists have always played with the edges of technology and what's possible, and I think it's part of the pleasure of making something quite sophisticated to do something simpler and vice versa. It's a kind of way of taking charge again, I think.
But then I think, you know, like conceptual art, putting something on the page and pinning it to the wall, for example, I often think it must have been a very kind of pure moment, in a way, of doing things like that. You know, just really trying to put the idea back to the minimum of expression, in a way. I think that still quite fascinates me very much, and I go back and look at what they did, and if that also would be a kind of possibility, because I think your work is very conceptual in some ways as well. So I'm wondering if what kind of links can be made if you want to make.
I'm interested in it having a relationship and a conversation with kind of art practices and art history and conceptual kind of issues, but I'm also very keen that it functions on a level as well that can come to somebody who's not informed about those histories, that it actually is still legible in many ways. It's the kind of pleasure I get, in a sense, to make it, or the only way I can make it make sense for myself. But I'm very keen that it also kind of works as an experience without layers of knowledge.
I mean, for me it's quite important to think about like the present, you know, like to create a work which reflects a contemporary state of the everyday, which kind of mirrors kind of society.
Which
kind of creates this play between the now and...
I look forward to seeing the next piece.
I look forward to your science. The pens.
I'm doing it on the crazy plant scientists who've got these kind of visions of the future being factories, that plants are going to become factories in the future because we've got to get rid of the fossil age and start growing everything we need instead.
So very economical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. When are you showing?
Oh, not for another year and a bit, because it's going to take that long to make it.
Yeah. It's beautiful. That's another thing which I think is also kind of interesting. How much do you have to become like this production thing as an artist, or how can you kind of resist that and do your work and really take
I think that's a decision you make basically, don't you? Whether you just say, well, I'm not going to do, this is the last group show I'm going to do for another year because I want my time.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you.
And we look forward for each other's work.
Yeah, excellent.
Thanks.